Welcome to Beyond the Bedroom. I am your host, Natalie, and I'm so thrilled to be bringing you this episode of my little podcast. Now, before we start, and as always, remember that this is not an alternative for professional therapy. So if you or someone that you love needs help, contact me for expert guidance or reach out to another therapist in your local area. Over the next 8 episodes, we'll unpack the challenges, shifts, and emerging trends in love, intimacy, relationships, faith, culture, and absolutely everything in between. So let's get right into it. Welcome back to Going Beyond the Bedroom with Deltas. I'm Natalie, your host, your guide, and maybe today your slightly controversial relationship therapist. Whether it's your first episode or your 6th, thank you so much for being here. If anything today resonates, whether it stirs you, soothes you, or even if it rubs you up the wrong way, I'd really love to hear from you. Drop me a message, share this episode, and of course, don't forget to like and subscribe. All right, let's talk about this so-called therapy boom. Everyone's doing therapy, your best friend, your cousin, even your boss, and here's a secret, maybe even you. But it's just between me and you. Here's the big question, though. Is it working? Or are we just trauma dumping in prettier rooms with mood lighting and someone nodding politely? Today, we're talking about the therapy boom. Can therapy save your relationship? This is episode 6 of season 1. Why is therapy and relationship therapy on the rise? Once upon a time, being in therapy was a secret. If your friends and family found out that you were in therapy, it was like announcing that you were breaking up or having a nervous breakdown in slow motion. That, oh no, look. You know the one where the eyes sort of go sideways and the silence becomes uncomfortable and the questioning furrowing of the brow just speaks too loudly? But now it's becoming a trend, a wellness flex. A way to kind of gain clout. And while I'm here for the shift, not the clout bit, it is worth asking, is it performative or purposeful? Let's start with what's changed and let's look at the data because you know by now that I like to keep it real. 75% of UK adults now say mental health care should be treated like physical health care, according to a Mind UK survey in 2023. 67% of couples cite financial strain as their top stressor, according to Relate UK. And 46% of people say that dating app experiences have damaged their ability to trust again, according to YouGov. And the influence of Hollywood in shows like Couples Therapy, The Me You Can't See, Love, Sex, and Goop, and others, as well as celebrity voices, Q, Michelle Obama, Prince Harry, Adele, this has normalized therapy in mainstream culture. Life is just heavier. The cost of living, long working hours, the social media comparison trap, ghosting, mismatched expectations. I could go on, but for many people, therapy isn't a last resort anymore. It's a lifeline. In my own practice, I've seen a noticeable increase in couples, for example, coming in earlier. Not because they're in crisis, but because they really want to build better foundations. And you know what? That's powerful. Studies from the Gottman Institute show that early intervention in therapy increases long-term success rates by 50%. That's huge. But does therapy actually work? Let's get practical. The data says yes, let's think about the 50%, but only if you actually engage. In couples therapy, 75% of couples report improvement from therapy when both partners are actively involved, according to research in 2022, suggesting that long-term success of therapy and relationship transformation depends heavily on commitment and willingness to change. But guys, therapy isn't magic. It's not just about talking, it's about doing. Let me share a quick story. And just to note, all examples I share from my practice have been anonymized and shared with full client consent.
In my early months of practice, I had a client who wasn't seeing any change in their physiological presentation. When I asked if they had been practicing what we discussed, they admitted that they hadn't even tried. I reminded my client of the need for their intentional effort and committed practice, and we had a discussion about what was going on and why practice was difficult. I left the client with these thoughts, and 2 weeks later, with intention and consistent effort, the client reported that things had begun to shift, and they had started to experience the first fruits of their intentional work. It was a powerful reminder to me and to my clients of the essence of therapeutic work. True progress begins not with me at all, but when the client chooses to fully engage in the whole process. My role may guide the journey, but the transformation starts the moment my clients decide to truly show up. So here are four keys to making therapy work. Number one, commitment and willingness to change. Therapy works best when people who attend, both partners, if it's couples therapy, are honest, engaged, committed, intentional, and willing to evolve, no matter what the cost. Number two, the right fit. Compatibility with your therapist is absolutely essential. There's no one-size-fits-all approach to therapy, which means that the relationship between therapist and client and how their values, methods, and energy align can make all the difference. I once worked with a client who had felt deeply judged by a previous couples therapist. A single, seemingly minor comment was later weaponized by their partner, and the emotional fallout took months of individual therapy to begin to heal. That experience was a powerful reminder to me. When the fit isn't right, for whatever reason, no judgment to the previous therapist, therapy can inadvertently do harm. In fact, studies show that therapist-client compatibility can improve therapy outcomes by 30 to 40%. When I read this statistic, it made complete sense, knowing all of the stories of the clients that I work with now. That's significant, 30 to 40%. If you're a therapist listening now, I truly encourage you to think about the compatibility, the true compatibility that you hold with your clients. It doesn't mean that you have to be compatible, but there should be a match. Therapists are not perfect. We can and often do get it wrong. This is why I always encourage prospective clients to speak with a few different therapists before committing to one. You need to feel safe, seen, and understood. I may not be the right fit for every client, and that's not only okay, it's necessary, because the right match matters more than anything else. So if you're a potential client, take your time. Read a therapist's profile, ask about their qualifications, their training, their specialisms, and their level of accreditation. Especially in today's world where pop-up online platforms and low-cost services are everywhere, I cannot emphasize enough the importance of doing your due diligence. Not all support is created equal. Not all help is better help. Choose wisely and trust your gut. Another client, Lena, not her real name, came from a culturally different background and shared how unseen she felt in her previous therapy experiences. Cultural fit might not sound sexy, but for many, it's a non-negotiable. Number three, remember that practice is beyond the session. Therapy may start in the room, but it lives in your daily life. Tools like reflective listening, breathwork, or even sensual touch exercises only work if you use them. It requires consistent, intentional practice outside the therapist's office. Individuals and couples who practice experience deeper connection, reduced conflict, and eventually lasting transformation for themselves and their relationships. Number four, early and consistent engagement. Don't wait until the relationship is emotionally bankrupt. Once you start, stay consistent. And even after the initial breakthroughs, keep going, keep working, keep practicing. Consider MOT-like sessions a year, 6 months, or 2 years down the line if you feel that weekly, fortnightly, or monthly sessions are too much at this stage of your life. What about the rise of online therapy and AI? Let's talk about the digital shift because it's changing everything. Online therapy platforms have exploded from low-cost app-based services to anonymous chat therapy. There is more access now than ever before. A 2023 report by the British Association for Counseling and Psychotherapy found that over 60% of their therapists now offer some form of online service. And that's for good reason. Accessibility has dramatically improved, especially for clients in rural areas, those with mobility issues, or those juggling busy schedules and young children. So here are the pros. Increased accessibility, especially in under-resourced areas. There's no travel, no potentially embarrassing waiting rooms. Just log on from anywhere. Many platforms offer lower cost options, making therapy more accessible to those with financial constraints. And there's greater flexibility for busy individuals and couples. Evening sessions, weekend slots, and bite-sized support make therapy more feasible for modern couples and individuals balancing work, family, and just life. I've had clients share how grateful they are to access therapy without taking time off work or worrying about childcare. For some, online therapy is the very thing that makes getting help possible. But of course, with every gain, there are trade-offs. And the pitfalls are worth noting because some of them are huge. There's less regulation and quality control can be inconsistent. Not all platforms rigorously vet their practitioners. Some therapists are minimally trained or not at all, and their accreditations are non-existent. The pressure to keep things short and scalable can often dilute the therapeutic process, reducing the depth and rhythm needed to process complex relational dynamics. You also don't always get to choose someone who aligns with your values or cultural context. And you lose the nuances. Without body language, tone, or energetic cues, some things just get lost. And the therapeutic alliance, the bond between client and therapist, can suffer. A study published in The Lancet Psychiatry in 2023 found that while online therapy was effective for short-term symptom relief, in-depth relational work, like couples or psychosexual therapy, often required longer, more immersive formats to yield lasting change. And then there's AI therapy. Yep. The robot therapists. Sounds futuristic, right? It's not. AI chatbots are now being programmed to offer emotional support and even guide users through CBT techniques. Some apps boast 24/7 access to a digital therapist. And while that may sound efficient, I'll be honest, it gives me pause. Because let's be real, healing is human. I've had one client leave therapy because their partner insisted that they should stop seeing a real therapist and use AI instead. AI can give you prompts. It can mimic empathy. But it cannot hold space for you in your silence. It can't mirror your grief, your breakups, your body's own wisdom. Therapy isn't just about words on a screen. It's about connection, about safety, about presence, and about relationship. There is something sacred about sitting, even virtually, with another human being and saying, "This is me. This is my mess. Will you help me to hold it for a while?" So while I absolutely champion the role of digital therapy when used wisely, I gently urge you, do your homework, ask questions, choose platforms with properly vetted therapists, and remember, low cost doesn't always mean low value, but it should never mean low skill or low care. Because you deserve more than a quick fix. You deserve to feel seen. And no app, not even the cleverest chatbot, can offer that the way a skilled, attuned therapist can. Therapy at its best is deeply relational. It's two humans sitting in a space that's sacred, navigating mess and meaning together. And I don't think that we should or can replace that. But what happens when therapy fails? Here's the truth. Therapy doesn't always work, and sometimes that's okay. I know, as a therapist, that might be controversial, and I'm okay with that. Are you? Some couples, for example, come in hoping I'll fix their partner. Why can't you just make him stop doing this? Why can't you just show her how wrong she is here? Others want a referee, not a facilitator. And occasionally, therapy keeps an already, I wish you could see my air quotes now, dead relationship on life support. Did I just say that? I know that feels harsh, and I really do wish that you could see my face and my air quotes right now when I say dead. But by now, hopefully you can tell that I try to be very real, and later on, I'll share the data that supports this thinking. Here are some warning signs of therapy going wrong. Repetition without progress. Same fight, different week. No accountability. No one's actually changing outside the session. Therapist mismatch. When you feel judged, silenced, or unseen. And what happens if you don't pivot? There's increased relationship dissatisfaction and higher breakup rates. There's emotional exhaustion and therapy burnout. There's increased individual mental health struggles. So here's what the data shows. 38% of couples who enter therapy separate within 4 years if core issues are not resolved, according to the Gottman Institute in 2023. 25% drop out of therapy within 6 sessions due to emotional fatigue. And 56% of individuals in unhappy relationships report worsening mental health. If therapy fails, individuals may feel hopeless about love and commitment, reinforcing patterns of avoidance or unhealthy coping mechanisms. But failure doesn't have to be the end. It's a signal for you to pivot, reassess, realign, maybe even pause to work individually. So here's how you can recognize failing therapy early and pivot towards success. Number one, recognize stagnation. Ask yourself if you are just repeating the same conversations. If therapy feels like rehearsing the same conflicts without new insights, it may not be productive. But here's the pivot. Ask your therapist to introduce structured exercises, set measurable goals, or shift to a new therapeutic approach. And before you do that, just check in with yourself. Am I doing all of the things that we discuss in therapy? Am I practicing the skills I've learned and been taught? Am I trying and being intentional about my actions and my efforts in therapy? Because sometimes your stagnation may not be because of your therapist. It may be because of you. And that's the truth. So before you ask your therapist, check in with yourself. Take a deep breath, close your eyes, and ask, am I present? Am I intentional? Am I being purposeful? This leads nicely into number two, lack of individual or mutual accountability. If you notice that you, if you're doing individuals therapy, or if you're doing couples therapy, you and your partner resist making changes outside of therapy, then progress is probably, most definitely, unlikely. So here's the pivot. Reaffirm your commitment to the process by identifying specific actions that you and your partner will take and do intentionally between sessions. Number three, Therapist mismatch or ineffective approach. Okay, I want to be clear. I don't mean ineffective in the traditional sense. I just mean that it might not be the right approach for you. Here's how. If sessions feel ineffective, it may be due to a poor fit with the therapist or an approach that doesn't align with your relationship needs. For example, if you're coming in thinking about or needing help with a psychosexual issue, but you're seeing a CBT therapist, they might be great for helping you work on behaviors and thought patterns, but not necessarily to manage or deal with your psychosexual presentation. So here's the pivot. Consider switching to a therapist with experience in specific relationship challenges, such as infidelity recovery, attachment-based therapy, psychosexual and relationship therapy, or a faith-based approach. Sometimes it's not what we do, but how we do it. And I'm cringing, sounding like my mother, but in this case, it really is true. So what can and does therapy address? Most people come into therapy thinking their issue is completely unique. And while every person and relationship is beautifully complex, I'll be honest, many of the struggles I see are far more common than we realize. And that's actually reassuring because it means you're not broken, you're just human, and there is help. Let's break down some of the most common reasons why couples and individuals seek out relationship therapy. Number one, communication breakdown. According to a 2023 Relate survey, communication stress remains the number one reason couples seek therapy. Whether it's constant arguments, stonewalling, or simply talking past one another, poor communication erodes connection over time. And for those clients who come in telling me that they just don't have any communication, I remind them that we're all communicating every day, whether it's in the silence or in the shouting or in that dance that we do, you know, the one, I say this, you say that, we don't talk for 5 minutes, or I send a passive aggressive text. You get the point. We're communicating all the time. How we communicate is what makes a difference. So therapy helps by introducing practical tools like mirroring, soft startups, and non-defensive expression, all designed to interrupt the blame cycle and build understanding. It's not just about learning to talk better or fight better. It's about learning to listen deeper and fight well. Here's another one: life transitions and emotional upheaval. Big life changes like having a baby, preparing for marriage, losing a job, infertility, illness, bereavement, think episode 5, can create emotional turbulence in relationships and in individual lives. And sometimes it's not the event itself, but how each person processes it that can cause tension. Therapy provides a space to grieve, to adapt, and stay connected even through the chaos. Another one might be intimacy and emotional disconnect. I see this a lot. Couples who love each other, but they feel like strangers. The spark has faded, or there's resentment, avoidance, or sexual mismatch that no one knows how to name, let alone fix. A University of Cambridge study in 2023 reported that 62% of long-term relationships experience a significant drop in sexual desire. That's not failure. It's an invitation for reconnection. And I love working with clients on reconnecting. As a psychosexual and relationship therapist, I often work with clients to uncover emotional blocks, explore desire dynamics, and gently rebuild intimacy, whether that's emotional, sensual, or sexual. And yes, this includes support with painful sex conditions, erectile dysfunction, and other sex-related concerns, as well as emotional and physiological ones. It's all welcome in my room. Trust issues and infidelity recovery. According to BACP in 2022, 53% of UK couples cite individual or trust issues as a primary reason for seeking therapy. Rebuilding after betrayal is possible, but it takes time, structure, and honest work. It's hard work, if I'm honest. In my practice, I use a bespoke model. my repair and recovery model, IRR, to help couples navigate this complex path from rupture to restoration. Whether you're the hurt party or the one who broke trust, the work is deep, but healing is possible. Identity, faith, and relationship models. Another area of my work involves helping individuals and couples explore parts of their identity they've struggled to integrate, whether that's around sexuality, gender, faith, conflict, kink, curiosity, or non-traditional relationship styles. These conversations are sacred. They require nuance, safety, and often deep unlearning. Therapy gives space for all of that. Of course, this list isn't exhaustive. Other common areas include navigating attachment wounds, preparing for marriage, adjusting to long-distance dynamics, setting healthy boundaries, or simply reconnecting after years of emotional drift. So if anything in this segment resonates with you or even makes you a little uncomfortable, that might be the exact place to start. If you're curious about working with me or just want to explore your options, feel free to reach out for a free discovery call. Therapy might not be for everyone, but clarity is. And don't forget, do your due diligence and reach out to a therapist in your area. Is therapy right for you? You don't need to be in crisis to benefit from therapy. In fact, the most dangerous relationship dynamics aren't full of yelling. They're full of silence, disconnection, and drift. So ask yourself, are our conversations productive or performative? Do I feel emotionally safe, either in myself or with my partner? When did I last feel truly connected to myself or my loved ones? If the answers to these questions worry you, therapy might be the next best step. And no, it doesn't have to be couples therapy right away. Individual work, workshops, and self-guided tools can all help you reconnect with yourself and your partner. So here are my final thoughts. Is therapy a lifeline or a last resort? Therapy isn't a one-size-fits-all fix. It's not magic, it's not a wand, it's not a blue pill or a red pill, but when done well, it is deeply healing and transformative. And those who thrive, they use therapy as a mirror, not a magnifying glass on themselves or their partner. They take the tools, apply them, and revisit them often. It's now your turn to go beyond the bedroom. If you're in a relationship, ask each other, what's one area we could strengthen together? And if you're solo, ask yourself, what beliefs about love am I ready to rethink? And that's it for episode 6. If this resonated with you, please like, subscribe, comment on my socials. My handle is @LTASTherapy and share it with a friend. Because the best conversations are the ones we actually have. You can book a free discovery call with me if I'm in your area, or just sit with it for a while. Sometimes that's enough. And do join me on my next episode, episode 7, Sex, Intimacy, and Emotional Needs. Why desire fades and how to rekindle it. Because desire doesn't disappear. Sometimes we just forget how to hold it. And until next time, dare to go beyond the bedroom. If you like what you've heard so far, please subscribe, rate, and review Beyond the Bedroom. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with a friend so that I can continue to bring these important conversations to life. Why don't you follow me on social media? My handle is @LTASTherapy. That's @LTASTherapy. For those in the know, that's Let's Talk About Sex. And subscribe for behind-the-scenes thoughts and discussions on my B-side. I'll catch you next time as we continue rethinking modern love. But until then, let's talk about it.